Hello, and welcome to your A-Level Psychology Revision Podcast. I'm your study guide tutor, and today we're diving deep into one of the most fascinating contemporary studies on the OCR specification, Hancock et al., published in 2011, titled Hungry Like the Wolf, A Word Pattern Analysis of the Language of Psychopaths. Whether you're revising for your mock or your final A-Level exam, this episode is going to walk you through everything you need to know: the study itself, the key findings, how to evaluate it, and crucially, how to write about it in a way that earns you marks in the top band. So grab your notes and let's get started. Let's start with the big picture. Why did Hancock and his colleagues even do this study? The answer lies in a fundamental question about psychopathy. Can we detect it not just through clinical assessment, but through the very words a person chooses to use? Psychopathy is a personality disorder characterized by a lack of empathy, shallow emotional responses, manipulative behavior, and often a predatory approach to other people. The traditional way to identify psychopathy is through the Psychopathy Checklist Revised, known as the PCLR, developed by Robert Hare. This is a 20-item clinical rating scale that scores individuals on traits like glibness, pathological lying, lack of remorse, and antisocial behavior. A score of 30 or above is the standard clinical threshold for psychopathy, but Hancock and colleagues used a cutoff score of 25 to categorize their participants. This is a really important detail. Examiners will credit you for knowing this specific number. Now, the participants. The study used 52 male Canadian prisoners, all of whom had been convicted of homicide. 14 of these were classified as psychopathic based on that PCLR cutoff of 25, and 38 were classified as non-psychopathic. This is your comparison group, and you must always mention both groups when describing the results. A very common mistake candidates make is describing only the psychopathic group's results without comparing them to the controls. How did the researchers collect their data? Each participant was asked to describe their crime in a semi-structured interview. These verbal narratives were then transcribed and analyzed using two computerized tools. The first was Wimetrix, a corpus analysis software that categorizes words by their grammatical function, such as whether they are nouns, verbs, subordinating conjunctions, and so on. The second tool was the DAL, the Dictionary of Affect and Language, which analyses the emotional tone of language, things like imagery, pleasantness, and activation levels. Now, this is a quasi-experiment. I want you to really understand why. In a true experiment, the researcher manipulates the independent variable. But here, the independent variable, psychopathy status, was a pre-existing characteristic of the participants. Hancock and colleagues did not make anyone psychopathic. They simply measured it and used it to divide participants into groups. This is the defining feature of a quasi-experiment, and it has important implications for the conclusions we can draw. So what did they find? Let's go through the key findings one by one, because these are the details that separate a level 3 answer from a level 4 answer. Finding 1, subordinating conjunctions. Psychopathic offenders used a significantly higher proportion of subordinating conjunctions, words like because, since, and so that, compared to non-psychopathic offenders. The specific figures are 1.82% versus 1.54%. These conjunctions signal cause and effect reasoning. The interpretation is that psychopaths frame their crimes in terms of logical necessity. They killed because they needed something. This reflects an instrumental view of violence. The crime was a means to an end, not an emotional reaction. Finding 2, past tense usage. Psychopaths used more past tense verbs when describing their crimes. This suggests psychological and emotional distance from the event. They are narrating what happened as if it is something separate from themselves, a kind of detachment that is entirely consistent with the emotional shallowness that characterizes psychopathy. Finding 3, disfluencies. Psychopaths produced more speech disfluencies, things like and false starts. This suggests that even psychopaths have to work harder to construct a narrative about their crime, perhaps because they lacked the genuine emotional memory that would make the story flow naturally. Finding 4, basic needs language. Using the DAL, the researchers found that psychopaths' language contained more references to basic physiological needs: food, drink, money, and sex. This is where Maslow's hierarchy of needs becomes relevant. Maslow proposed that human motivation operates in a hierarchy from basic physiological needs at the bottom through safety, love and belonging, esteem, and finally self-actualization at the top. The language of psychopathic offenders clustered around the bottom of this hierarchy, while non-psychopathic offenders' language contained more references to higher level needs, family, religion, and social connection. Now let's talk about how to actually use this study in the exam. The most common mistakes. Number 1. Confusing WMatrix and DAL. WMatrix analyses grammatical structure and parts of speech. DAL analyses emotional tone and affect. They are different tools doing different jobs. Number 2. Calling this a true experiment. It is not. It is a quasi-experiment because the IV psychopathy status was not manipulated by the researcher. Number 3. Forgetting the comparison group. When you describe results, you must compare psychopathic offenders to non-psychopathic offenders. Number 4. Failing to generalize carefully. The sample is 52 Canadian male homicide offenders. You cannot generalize these findings to all psychopaths, to female offenders, or to psychopaths who have not committed homicide. For evaluation, the use of computerized analysis via WMatrix and DAL removes researcher bias and increases objectivity. The use of real crime narratives gives the study high ecological validity. However, the PCLR itself relies on clinical judgment, which introduces some subjectivity. And the sample of only 14 psychopathic offenders is small and highly specific. Now, a quick fire recall quiz. I'll ask a question, pause, then give you the answer. Question 1. What was the cutoff score on the PCLR used to classify participants as psychopathic? The answer is 25. Question 2. What type of design is Hancock et al.? Quasi-experiment. Question 3. Name the two computerized analysis tools used. Bilibuddle by Trix and DAL, Dictionary of Affect and Language. Question 4. What specific percentage of subordinating conjunctions did psychopaths use compared to controls? 1.82% versus 1.54%. Question 5. Which theorist's framework is used to interpret the basic needs findings? Abraham Maslow, Hierarchy of Needs. Let's bring it all together. Hancock et al., 2011, is a contemporary study in the individual differences area of the OCR A-level specification. It used a quasi-experimental design with 52 Canadian male homicide offenders, categorized using the PCLR with a cutoff of 25. Language was analyzed using WMatrix for grammatical features and DAL for emotional tone. Key findings showed that psychopathic offenders used more subordinating conjunctions, more past tense, more disfluencies, and language focused on basic physiological needs, all interpreted as evidence of the instrumental, detached, and self-serving nature of psychopathic cognition. For your exam, remember, be specific with numbers, always compare both groups, use the correct terminology for the design, and link your evaluation to the specific methodological choices made by the researchers. Good luck with your revision. You've got this. See you in the next episode.